Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's March 7th, the year of our Lord 2002.
NBA Jam.
Ocean's 11 is the big film. It reached number one in its third week of release, which is a bit weird, but whatever. The film received positive reviews from critics and was a box office hit, grossing a lot of money, can't we all say one lucky amount. Sonnenberg directed two sequels, Ocean's 12 and 04 and Ocean's 13 and 07. Ocean's 8, a spin-off of an all-female-led cast, was released in 2018. Wasn't released, it escaped the bomb.
Hey, there it is!
People Magazine called the film pure fun from start to finish. Jack likes it. He said it's one of those films that he's seen.
It's been described as a film that Jack the Jobber has seen.
That's right. Westlife's World of Our Own, a song by Irish boy band Westlife, is number one in the charts. I've just put really catchy chorus and nothing lyrics. Sounds like a boy band song from the early 2000s.
Make me feel funny when you come around, and that's what I found now, honey.
Bitch, better bring my money. Hey, dirty. Baby, I got your money. Oh, that Westlife
bitch
song.
Bitch, better have my money. When you come around. Honey. Oh, bless them. They don't have much.
Sting of the Police. The very best of Sting of the Police is number one album in the UK.
The best Police album.
This is not just a best of. This is...
a worst of.
A re-release of a best of. It's a re-release. It came out in 97 originally, featuring one new track, which is a remix of Roxanne. Then in 98, it got re-released again with the removal of the songs was called Russians. I remember that song. And added three more songs, 7 Days Fragile and, quote, dee doo doo dee dee da da.
Da doo 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 da 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 da. That one. That's the one.
Is that how that goes?
Yeah. That's genuinely how it goes. Da doo 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 da 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 da.
Just
what
Russians saying
to
yes.
Say to you.
Russians watching Bryan Danielson in 2014. And then, in 02, an updated edition was released. Russians put back on. No, sorry, taken back out again. Well, how could be admitted if it wasn't there the first time and some others? Yeah, it's a re-release of a best of. Oh, two. Oof.
He got the Freedom of North Tyneside recently. Did Sting.
Oh, that's nice. You remembered he's from the area then.
You just remember that he's from Jarrah. Is it Jarrah he's from? I think he's from Jarrah.
He gets a prize, he's here.
He gets a big key now and he can go into anyone's house.
Key for the key side.
Why would you give a massive key that gives you the freedom to go anywhere to a man that sang a song called I'll Be Watching You? Every breath you take, every move. He really will now.
He's part of the police anyway. He's got his boot. BBC Knowledge ceases transmission in the early hours with BBC 4 launching in place at 7 p.m. BBC Knowledge.
So this was like they had, was Bite Size was on this, where you had sort of education cards that flashed up and it was like it was educational programs all around the clock.
Yeah, just wanted to see if you knew what it was.
Yeah, I remember.
Sure enough,
it
is exactly what it is. Look,
you watched. It's like watching TV. You felt like you were doing your homework.
That's what we want from TV.
Yes.
Unlike Emmerdale, Jack has decided it isn't fair to keep Tootsie the dog, but dreads breaking the news to Victoria. But dreads. Oh, I see. He's dreading. Okay, I thought dreads was the name of somebody. Judge Dredd takes Emmerdale.
I am Dredds.
I am the law, and your dog is sick. Much to his surprise, however, she takes the news well, and with Paddy's agreement, they take Tootsie to a dog shelter.
How funny this week that both Emmerdale and the show that we're going to talk about both feature major storyline around a dog.
Oh, no. And the big game this week, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3.
Ooh.
And I put, I don't think it's as good as 2, but it does have CKY. So maybe the people are right. And it is still considered one of the greatest video games ever made. Here's the soundtrack. The Ramones, Blitzkrieg Pop. That's good. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fight Like a Brave. That's good. KRS-One. Motorhead, Ace of Spades. Yeah. I've heard that song before, yes. Roland's Band, What's the Matter, Man?
Oh.
It's an all right one. House of Pain, I'm a Swing.
Not Jump Around.
Why? What the hell? House of Pain, I'm a Swing. Whatever. Exhibit, Paparazzi.
Nice.
Don't remember that one. This isn't going the way I thought it would. You know what? Chat the Job was custom made for this. But yes, CKY, 99, Quite Bitter Beings. I think we all know that one.
Yes. That was the Tony Hawk soundtrack to me, just that song.
Yeah. Ah, but that was what was happening in the weird and re-released world of the early 2002. What was happening in the wonderful world of wrestling? Bugger if I know. But luckily, I know a guy who knows a guy. That name is Tom Campbell, and he knows another guy who knows a guy. That's me, Mafu. We're here for the Cult of the Classic SmackDown Review. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Matthew. Can you
the
all...
Two quite bitter beings.
Can you all join me for yesterday wishing Matthew a happy birthday? It was yesterday when you're watching / listening to this. I assume it was a very pleasant birthday that you had. I assume it was.
We can assume for tomorrow, yes.
Because we're recording this the day before, but you're hearing it the day after.
Yeah.
Are you at liberty to share how old you're turning?
Yeah, 36.
There you go. A grand age.
Not worried about bloody aging.
Good.
Haha, look at you. Succumbing to the death cycle.
Make it stop. I think last year on my birthday, I think I shared that one clip from Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, which is just the yellow guy going, make it stop. And I feel like I'm going to share it again in January. But happy 36 for yesterday.
Thank you, Bob.
My boy. Proud of you.
Thank you.
For making it for 36 times around the sun.
Yeah.
Somehow we just keep on keeping on, don't we?
That's it.
All is good here. Apologies if I'm a little bit ropier than normal. I am, what's the medical term? Hanging out my arse today.
Oh, go on.
My mum and dad came to Newcastle and we went out for dinner with them. But with my mum and dad, it's never just going out for dinner. It is the drinks beforehand, the drinks during, and the drinks after. So
before
I don't
get into this, people should know. You know in The Simpsons when they do this joke that I didn't quite get as a kid when they show Milhouse and then later on they show Milhouse's parents who were just Milhouse. You know, I never got that as a kid until I explained it. Goes, oh, that's supposed to be a joke, isn't it? Like, they both look the same. That's not how parents work, whatever. Anyway, I thought that was bollocks. That doesn't happen in the real world. It's not as if your parents are just copies of yourself until I met Tom Campbell's dad, who was just Tom Campbell, but a dad.
Yes, you called him Older Tom.
Yes.
Cultaholic Hall of Famer. Older Tom. It was lovely to actually spend some time with the man that booed me out of the building at Impact in Coventry. So cheers, Dad. Lovely to see you. We're both a bit tender, Alex and I. Alex's is more hilarious than mine because what I've learned about Alex, obviously drink in moderation, kids. Now, when Alex has a hangover, it's different to other hangovers because she won't be like rough in the morning and just sort of muddle through. She is fine in the morning. Like nothing has touched the sides all night. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she goes, oh, God. Like it hits, it's like a delayed fuse on Alex's hangover. So we're recording this on Thursday morning. I'm expecting a text at about 2 o'clock from Alex going, I don't feel well. I was like, yeah, that's your late fuse hangover kicking in there, you little cheeky devil. So that to look forward to later. We've put the tree up by the time you've heard this. The Christmas tree's gone up in our house.
Stop speaking of metaphors.
Oh, that's no metaphor. That is a meta five. With the Christmas tree is up. We have watched Spirited, which means Christmas has truly begun in our house. That's my new favorite Christmas film.
Which one's Spirited again?
It was on Apple TV and it stars Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. And it's a bit of a musical number and I just love it. It's fantastic.
Is it a Christmas film?
It's a Christmas film.
All right, cool. Tapping out.
But it only came out last year and I just immediately went, this needs to be my Christmas tradition every year watching this.
Did you ever see Elf?
Yeah, that's a classic though.
I tried watching it a few years ago and go, I think I've missed this. Like
you didn't get into it.
Try watching it now going, I'm glad you guys like it.
Ah, that's a really nice way of approaching it. I'm glad you like it.
Yep.
What's your favourite Christmas film, Matthew Gregory?
Oh, every year, go see my dad, we have to watch The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Excellent
choice. Which I appreciate
choice.
Every year now. I used to not like it as a kid because I'm like, Muppets, yay, wacky puppets. And then it's, oh, it's effing Christmas Carol. So somber and miserable and filled with death. You know, The Muppets. So I used to say, and still think, that Treasure Island's a better film. However, yeah, as a Christmas Carol adaptation, of which there are millions of, yeah, it's up there with the best. And also the Alistair Sims version of Christmas Carol, which I think is just called Scrooge, because Alistair Sims is just it's the one-man play, really. He's just in his face.
Yeah, he's a very
Scrooge,
visual...
Scrooge, tell me. You know, it's just... Oh.
He's a fabulous actor.
Yeah. Marvellous boy. Amazing boy. Oh, he's such a good actor. But yeah, those are the two that we have to watch. It's part of the tradition. Oh, also me crying every time they put on fucking It's a Wonderful Life. Every year these bastards put it on. I mean, I love my parents. These are the people I'm referring to as bastards. But every year the bastards put it on. And yeah, I know what's coming. I know what's happening. Oh, Merry Christmas, movie house. Oh, hello. Hello, cinema. Oh, man, Whisper Falls! You know, and he goes there, and then they're like, you know, oh, George, they're going to break our legs and kill us for embezzlement. Oh, Mary, no. That's really bad. Wait, what's that noise? Bump, bump, bump. It's someone at the door. It's everybody in the village. Everybody you've helped because you... Oh, you know what? Even taking the piss out of us... that's not me, really, I am. Taking the piss out of it is like, oh, Matthew, you keep on talking about it and thinking about that scene, I will start tearing up.
Oh!
Man, it is just... Anyway, whatever. Wrestling.
It's the true human spirit, and it's always... It's a Wonderful Life is a great poster and a great public service announcement for why you shouldn't be a dick.
And don't worry if life wasn't what you expected it to be. Look at all the people you helped.
Yeah, exactly. Life isn't a wonderful journey. Life's a happy song when there's someone by your side to sing along. And I'm by the side of Matthew Gregg, and we're going to talk about SmackDown in 2002 today.
I'm going to take over a blub in the corner.
You have a little blub in the corner. You have a little cry wank in the corner, and I'll talk you through what's happening in WWF in 2002. And then we'll throw back to Matthew, and he will talk us through SmackDown.
Whereas the evil dude looking at WWE goes, why, you're worth more dead than alive.
Well, there's your next Botchamania outro. You're very welcome. If that comes on Botchamania, you know that's because of this podcast.
In fact, George, why don't you wait here? I'll call Time Warner myself. No.
Right, there have been some depressing phone calls within the WWF because this week, the World Wrestling Federation lost another legal battle. They're getting used to the word no this week, and there'll be another reason why in a second. They appealed against the court's ruling that they must rebrand away from WWF. This has been the ongoing legal dispute with the World Wildlife Fund. Now, in case you missed it, the bridged version of this is a wonderful video on the YouTube channel, on Cultaholic's YouTube channel, all about it. I know it's wonderful because I made it, which goes into great detail about why this happened. So when the WWF launched and became a bigger deal, the World Wildlife Fund went, hang on, that's our initials. We'll keep an eye on you. Don't use them too much. To which WWF went, oh, no, we won't use them too much. Use them everywhere. So then it was around like 2000, 2001, when they first started sort of getting their ducks in a row to take them to court for going against a preordained deal to not overuse the WWF logo, the WWF initials.
Yeah, initials. That's
right. The initials. WWF fought against it. The judge went, no, you said you wouldn't, and you have. Yeah. So
you banged the rights.
Really. Order in favour of the World Wildlife Fund. You now have to change your name, World Wrestling Federation. And in the late part of last year, they went back to the courts in the UK and went, do we have to? Because it's going to cost us about $50 million to rebrand. And the Judge Carnworth didn't care. He said the cost of rebranding now, after some 5 years of development, are entirely attributable to its own decision to take that risk.
Yeah, it's going to cost
Slay.
Us... Slay. It's going to cost us this much money because we didn't do the thing we said we would.
You don't understand. The consequences of my actions are really bad.
It's on the many occasions when WWF look like absolute carnies that they are. Wait, we had to honour the agreement? Oh, that's how the real world works, isn't it? Bollocks.
It all came, like, they really started, like, eyebrows were raised because when WWF launched a magazine, and it was called WWF Magazine, and then the World Wildlife Fund launched a magazine called WWF Magazine, and then they said, oh, there's conflict in the marketplace, and that's when they started going, oh, hang on a minute. Watch the video that we did a while ago. It explains everything. So expect $50 million of rebranding coming our way very, very soon. I wonder how they'll get around it. We'll talk about it as we get there. They've also been told no by Bret the Hitman Hart this week.
Who has signed with the Pandas.
He has essentially sided with the Pandas. Bret Hart was approached by WWF Canada... producer Carl
Jack Tunney.
Carl DeMarco, sadly not Jack Tunney. I guess this is his predecessor, Carl DeMarco, and was approached about doing a guest spot at WrestleMania 18 because they're in Canada. Bret Hart wrote in his Calgary Sun column, Goldberg's a dick, lol. And then he wrote that his old friend, Carl DeMarco, had approached him about making an appearance. He said, in return, they give me access to video footage and still shots from their archive.
That one, mate.
They own every picture and every inch of film of every match I've ever had in 16 years of my career. Bret Hart then said that despite everything the WWF had put him through and put his family through, he did actually consider the offer because he was desperately trying to get hold of tapes because he wants to make a documentary about his life. Days before Owen Hart's funeral, Bret and Vince, apparently, this came to light during this Calgary Sun article, Bret and Vince had a meeting on a park bench in Calgary. And Vince said...
Sitting on a park bench.
Yeah, this is in true... this is in true Vince style. Vince and Bret met on a park bench. Vince said, look, you can have whatever you want from the archives. It's the least we can do. So when Bret called a few days later to go, yeah, Vince said I can have what I want from the archives, Vince went, I don't remember this conversation. Yeah. Fucking hell. They were meant to have a meeting after that, and Vince said, I'm too busy, and cancelled. So Bret went on to wish the wrestlers good luck for WrestleMania and said if Vince ever wants to air out their problems in private, all he had to do was pick up the phone and call. But he won't be going to WrestleMania 18, which is a shame.
That story goes really well with, Judge, apparently we said we had to do something and now we have to stick to it.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
It's quite a week, isn't it?
What? Really? Judge, that's so unfair for a wrestling company.
Judge, what you don't understand is I really enjoyed reaping, but I can't be fucked to sow. The other way around. I really enjoyed sowing, but I can't be fucked to reap.
Order, stop reaping.
Andrew McManus has come under tons of heat this week for his show WWA Revolution.
It was revolting.
In various markets, names like Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Road Dogg, Buff Bagwell, and Randy Savage were advertised for the show.
Really?
To which McManus went, hey, I didn't know about that, despite the fact he signed off on all of it. He claims to have had a verbal deal with Randy Savage. Randy Savage's management tried to change the deal that they made. It went from a 30% stake in the company to $250,000 for one show. Eventually, they brought him down to $150,000. McManus didn't agree, and they pulled out on the deal. McManus was content to blame Savage's business manager because he didn't want to upset Savage just in case they could have a thing together. McManus also told Alex Marvez at Wrestling Observer that his attorney stands his ground that Savage had a verbal contract, and a verbal contract you need to honour. McManus claimed he had no idea why Buff Bagwell was advertised. He said, I'm concerned about that. I've got to admit, I'm a little bit mystified about him. I don't want him on my shows anymore after problems on the last tour. How he got on the advertising schedule, I'm still looking into. I never offered him a position on the show.
I had no idea it was like this. Oh, I hope there's some of those retro adverts for Dub Debate on YouTube. They're all the stars are here. Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. Scott Hall. Randy Savage, Buff Bagwell, Shark Boy, Wildcat Willie, The Kiss Demon, Eric Watts.
Road Dogg's name was on there. Andrew McManus said, oh yeah, we were going to have Road Dogg on the show, but then he rang and told me he'd been arrested and put in jail for probation violation. However, the Pensacola Police Department have no record of Road Dogg being arrested. I'm sorry, I can't do your shit show. I've been arrested. What was his
which,
next?
Which jail? Which jail? Pensacola.
He looked on his,
Pepsi?
He looked on his desk and there was a pen and a can of drink. Pensacola.
What was
Pensacola.
His name was Sergeant who arrested you. Kaiser Sose.
Road Dogg, of course, in true WWE style, was paid in advance to do the show. That he couldn't turn up to because he was on probate.
Oh, my God.
That he was in jail.
Is it any wonder the Panda people beat them? Your Honour, I present the evidence. Here's a copy of The Observer for this week. Have you seen this shit?
The state of these fucking promoters. And then the stories came out of people not being paid. Terry Taylor and Larry Zbysko were not paid for the show. The reason given was that because they were so late additions to the show, their checks weren't ready.
Why?
They have to print them, I guess, or write them by hand.
Wait, Terry Taylor?
Yeah. He was,
he's doing a backstage interview.
He was backstage stuff, yeah. Mark Madden was promised $1,000 and received a check for $300 instead. But don't worry, that sounds like it was just an error and that got changed.
It was just an error.
Fuck it, yeah, now.
Mark was apparently mad. And
it was, a depressing time had by all.
What are you talking about? It was hilarious.
I know, but it's lovely for us.
It's a wonderful life.
Is a one final bit on this, right? So here's what's going on. So they're putting this show together. They've gone back.
This is more WWE.
They've gone back and forth with Randy Savage, and eventually he's gone. Now we're not doing it, despite the fact that they've advertised him. Yeah. They've advertised Hall and Nash, and they never got a deal. But there's been DirecTV adverts advertising Hall and Nash on this show. You had Road Dogg booked, but apparently he went to prison, but didn't. They tried to get Sting in a last-ditch effort to bring him in, and Sting went no. Andrew McManus watched SmackDown.
I've heard this story. Yeah. Is this where it comes from? Oh my God, yeah, I know what's
Andrew coming. McManus watched SmackDown on the 21st of February, Christian said, I quit, and immediately reached out to offer him a place on the WWE Tour.
That's where that came from. Oh my God, I've heard that story for years. It came from The Observer, right? I wasn't sure if someone was taking the piss out of him or not, or if that story is true. I'd love to see if he's done any recent interviews or whatever, just to confirm if he actually did that or not.
Well, I've picked that up from The Observer, so let's take it.
That's where that comes from. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was just someone fucking with him or not.
Again, like...
Well, it sounds like he was easily fucked with.
He sounds like he was easily fucked with. It's fantastic.
Yes, I've got his number.
But there is some other things going on in the world
Who cares?
I mean, this one you might care about. XPW owner Rob Black is in the news for a promotional stunt that got him a lot of grief. As a way of advertising his upcoming XPW show, he claimed on his porn website he was going to feed a chihuahua to a python.
Yes, I remember that.
On air, you could pay to watch it.
But the python wanted 250 grand and a stake in the company.
And the chihuahua claimed to be in prison.
So instead they had Buff Bagwell eat one instead. Buff Bagwell wasn't booked, he just showed up.
They write, a shocking number of wrestling writers on the internet fell for this, and most of them were outraged. Most of them wrote outraged columns, which included a link to the website where you could verify the claims for yourself. Of course, all this accomplished was push an extraordinary amount of traffic towards the XPW website, and in the end, the dog was never fed. To the python. I'm sure he was fed at some point.
Yeah, thank you.
He didn't
just
starve a dog.
Thank you for clarifying, Groving Reporter Tom.
Thank you very much indeed. And final bit of news for this week. Slightly less interesting, but certainly one to keep an eye on. There have apparently been some negotiations between In Demand, the pay-per-view provider, and Jerry Jarrett. The idea seems to be based around the idea of doing weekly pay-per-views in prime time,
Tom,
on a Wednesday night at a tenner a go. Whether that's viable or not is a major question to begin with, but it certainly wouldn't be without television to promote stars and angles. If this idea is used to make Jeff Jarrett into a big wrestling star, it's not going to pay off. Sorry, Jeff, mate.
I spun that news by going to the toilet.
Oh, wow. Was it the python story that finished you off?
Well, while Matthew Gregg goes to the toilet, because very shortly we'll be throwing to Matthew Gregg for the review of SmackDown this week, I want to say thank you for what has been a really wonderful year so far for the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. Just a couple of shows left before we wrap for the year. I think we're gonna get WrestleMania 18 in as the final one of the year. We should squeeze that in before Christmas. And I can very much confirm that we do indeed have a Cultaholic Classic Review Christmas special this year that will once again be dropping on December the 25th. Myself, Matthew Gregg, Sam Driver, and Jack Atkins from the Classic Review Pantheon of Podcasts will all be together again. And we've got something very specially festive lined up for you, which you will hear with your ears on the podcast feed on Christmas Day. You will also get the behind-the-scenes table read from it if you are a Patreon at patreon.com/cultaholic. In fact, if you'd like to become a patron and get the video versions of these, not only is there a tier that gives you the video versions of these podcasts, but also you can become a third member of the panel. Essentially, we just finished up one of those, which you heard the other week, with a fabulous Patreon here on Cultaholic. And we'd love for you to be the next one. You can sign up now to be a guest on the Classic SmackDown review at patreon.com/cultaholic. It'd be lovely to have you as part of it. And once again, thank you so much for continuing to support us throughout 2023. 2024 is looking incredibly fun, and we look forward to sharing every single bit of it with you. But we're going to go up until WrestleMania 18, and then from there, it'll be over for the festive season. So I was just announcing that we, and this is a bit of admin for you as well, we're probably going to go up till WrestleMania 18, and then we will break for the year.
That makes sense.
I think 18's a nice point to end it on. Mm. We'll watch 18, and then we'll have there's the Cultaholic Classic Christmas special on Christmas Day, and then we'll kick it off again in earnest in January.
Sounds fantastic. I'm sorry for going to the toilet there, but I did go to Toby Carver yesterday, and I haven't been to the toilet since.
I'm glad I work as some sort of diuretic for you.
God, you absolutely do.
You're very welcome.
Whenever I see you, I want to go to the toilet.
I get that a lot. So over to Matthew Gregg, who is now going to talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown, the first one in March of 2002.
That's
Mania
right.
Around the corner, baby.
That's right. Matthew doesn't want to do that. Matthew wants to have a big cigarette and just relax for a bit. But instead, he'll get on to the next best thing, which is a live feed of SmackDown.
Yes!
It's not quite as live feedy as usual, though. It's missing out a lot of stuff, as we'll get into later on. But we start with the Triple H Beautiful Day promo, and then the national anthem, sung by Lillian Garcia in the ring instead of the Titantron, followed by a Scorpion King advert, and I've typed, fascinating, I know. Mm. Anyway, we missed Funaki defeating Eddie Craven, DDP pinning Lance Storm with the Diamond Cutter, Bradshaw pinning Chuck Palumbo after the clothesline from hell, and Mr. Perfect defeating Rikishi after Test interfered. Well, I wouldn't say we missed it. Michael Cole heads down, sits at the desk, and
what did he walk out to?
Click, boom.
Click, click, boom.
And expresses surprise at being cheered. And then we go right in the cold open. There's not a lot there this week in terms of like cool live feed stuff, I'm afraid. But cold open is Ric Flair, the 96-year-old bitter being, kicks a door and demands to be let in. Wow, you'd think Eric Bischoff was in there. But it's not Easy E, it's Undertaker E, who's watching clips of himself beating up David Flair on Raw. That's right, David Flair's debut in the WWF. Undertaker mocks him and claims David is more of a man than Rick, so Rick heads to the ring rather than be humiliated by a door. And then we get the witty-wee, witty-woo, da-da-da-da-da. We're in San Antonio, Texas at the Freeman Coliseum, March 7, 2002. 8,274, good number for a build-up to WrestleMania X8. And apparently the main event is The Rock returning, and we are sold out tonight.
Mm.
Ooh. Co-owner Flair heads the ring and reminds us he just wanted to be a co-owner and not a wrestler until Vince prodded him until finally Rick beat his ass at the Rumble. Crowd woos. Flair declined Undertaker's challenge at WrestleMania, and then Arn Anderson got attacked and bled a lot. But AA told Flair not to do anything because he knows Undertaker would destroy Flair. And Flair's best mate didn't want the dead man to end Flair's legacy. But then Undertaker went for his son. And today is David's 23rd birthday. But he's not able to celebrate because he's in a bed recovering from the beating that Undertaker gave him. Undertaker's trophy case isn't enough to keep Flair in it. It's not big enough to keep Flair in it, yeah. And not even Vince's trophy cabinet is big enough to keep Flair in. So Rick is officially a wrestler again. Flair wants to bleed, and then he pushes himself until he bleeds a bit. Undertaker, you've got the Nature Boy at WrestleMania. I'm going to hurt you, dead man. Woo! Rolling, rolling, rolling. Here's the Undertaker and his, you know he's serious because he's left his mobility scooter in the back mode. Undertaker's got a waistcoat and a short haircut and looks nu metal as fuck.
He looks far better than he has done in weeks, walking around that big overgrown red hoodie like a chav. Mm.
Undertaker says, whoa, 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 calm down, Rick. You've taken all the fun out of this whole thing. Undertaker's unsure if he wants to fight Flair at WrestleMania now, and he's willing to forgive Flair for everything he's done.
Love
to
that.
Undertaker.
I'm willing to let bygones be bygones.
And all the ads, that's big of him. Undertaker will let Flair know his answer tonight after he's had a big think about it. Michael Cole is raging. Ric Flair is raging. I'm grinning. The build of this feud rules.
This was a fantastic opener to SmackDown from like Flair banging on Undertaker's locker room and Undertaker just like hearing it but going, hey, Flair!
Hey, that's a coincidence. I'm watching your son get murdered.
the bit he's talking about was on Raw on Monday and it was all the roster were in Japan. They're on the tour of the East Asian tour.
Yeah, more on that later.
So it was quite a slim line roster for Raw, but Undertaker was still there, and it was like a little call out to Flair. We're going, hey, look what I did to your son. I think it was OVW. They filmed this bit at OVW, where he was training, and just batters David Flair within an inch of his life. And Undertaker does a very haunting line where he says like, oh, you know, if that's not enough, wait and see what I do to your daughters. And like thinking like Charlotte Flair would have put him in a fucking figure eight.
And think, oh no, a crap moonsault.
Oh no, 480 world titles. Oh. But this was a great opener. A little bit revisionist, I would say, because I seem to believe that Flair was like, Vince begged me to come out of retirement. But I'm pretty sure that Flair called for the match, the street fight. If I remember. Didn't Flair say, no, you've got a match at the Rumble against the next guy who knocks you on your ass? Bang. Forgive it because, like, we got the Flair that we've always wanted. Mm. Not this sort of halfway house between calm Commissioner Flair and mental Flair. We get full, fat, wild Ric Flair. And it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
This is the Ric Flair. He's talking. And acting like the crazy Ric Flair.
And Undertaker
good reason.
Undertaker
and after all this, after weeks of Undertaker going, I want a match with you, and Rick going, no. And him doing everything to antagonize his family and his friends. Undertaker going, I don't know, I'll have a think about it. Further be a dick. It's like, oh.
Undertaker's like, I'm willing to let bygones be bygones. Like, I'll forgive you. Like, he's been such an arse all the way through. He's like, hey, look, I'll let you off. Let me have a think about it. Fucking great. What a great start to SmackDown.
Bye, Rick. Have a good time.
Great. That should have been the main event of Mania. Yeah.
Backstage, Steph bumps into Triple H, the man with the big dick. I put dick with three H's on the end, so dick. Steph reminds Triple H that he lost on Raw thanks to Steph. Ha, ha, ha. Triple H and Steph argue over Lucy the dog. Oh. Triple H insists he should have the dog, but Steph says Lucy loves her. Triple H wonders why she wants Lucy. Isn't one bitch enough for one home?
Ooh.
And then he walks off. But was that the whole point of that? So Triple H could say bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, both of them put over Lucy more than Jericho has had anything the last month. And I wish I was exaggerating.
No, it's true, actually. Also, they put over Steph's car. Was it like a Bentley or a...
Yes.
A very posh car.
The dog and the car. More on both.
Steph wants her car. Trips wants the dog.
Yeah.
More on that later.
More on that Luna. So we can take the car for a walk. Wacky Tabacky sponsors RVD. Yes,
that's the second week in a row, isn't it? Yeah. That's a piss take.
Pinning Lance Storm. And then IC Champion Regal joins the commentators to remind us that RVD is wrestling Regal at WrestleMania. Yes, who could forget that amazing feud of all that build for the biggest show of all time in 10 days is the first mention of it. Tonight, RVD is challenging for the hardcore title against Goldust. RVD topes Goldust during Goldie's entrance. Well, that was nice. This causes the cameras to stop being widescreen and filmy, which which I thought was a good term, filmy, during Golda's entrance, as soon as he gets hit by RVD, because, like, yeah, well, the match is on. So it just goes back to being 4x3 and normal, which I thought was a nice little thing.
I liked
very Regal, Tony Storm.
Liked Regal calling him a bloody barbarian.
Regal is disgusted at the rules being besmirched. Goldust gets dunked over the guardrail, but dodges the spin kick and hits RVD with a gold trash can lid. And that's as close as RVD will get to gold, saith Regal. Bloody. Goldust throws in his gold chair and gold bin to get gold twatted.
I forgot this aspect of Goldust's very brief run in the hardcore division where he had all gold weapons. I really liked it. I liked it.
I think it's a bit like that Christy the Clown bit where he's like, hey, it's me in the Big Ear family. Oh, my ears are cleaning. Let me get the cleaner. It's this giant stick going, hey, hey. It's no reaction. It's like, yeah, so? RVD monkey flips Goldust, who completely sandbags it because fuck taking a bump on a hard-ass gold chair. Regal takes a bump off the apron thanks to RVD so Goldust can kick RVD in the balls. Oh, wait, maybe not, as Goldust takes so long to look at a gold bin because he's probably wondering, why would you have a gold bin? That RVD is able to escape and kick him. Regal distracts again, allowing Goldust to roll up RVD. What a bloody right royal cockney barrel of monkeys mess this bloody finish was. Just a match to set up a WrestleMania match that they forgot to book.
What do you put in a gold bin? Is it gold recycling?
Do you only put the gold rubbish? The gold... Obviously, Goldust has lots of. Yeah. Judging by the rest of this.
Just full of Magnum wrappers.
He puts the other gold...
Magnum wrappers, Ferrero Rocher packets.
Goldust and Dustin... Dustin Runnels doing the bloody whisper gold.
Yes! What bar? Yeah. No one's done that before.
The good Lord has said that whisper is the great one.
Ooh. That'd be a brilliant advert. I love that.
Yes. That's a shout out to all the 50-year-olds listening to this podcast.
I believe at this point, Shattered Dreams gets renamed Golden Globes.
That's a really good joke.
No. I'm serious. I think because it does get renamed Golden Globes. And I'm sure they do it here. I'm sure it starts here. Oh. It gets rebranded as Golden Globes. It's a good joke as well. I agree. Why did Regal have to hide the nooks? It's no DQ. He can do what he likes.
I don't know. This seems very last minute.
It and does the fact feel that, a bit like, hoid together.
Why did Regal interfere twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Does feel a bit lobbed together. But it is what it is. It gets us to a much hyped match in 10 days' time.
No commentary during the breaks this time. I put with an exclamation mark for some unknown reason. Oh. As if I was excited at this lack of exciting stuff to bring to the podcast.
Oh.
Saliva's Superstar from Every 6 Seconds is a song for WrestleMania. Even more forgettable than Drowning Pool's song. I had no memory of this.
Make me a superstar.
Nah. But last Monday, Crippled Austin wrestled Booker T because, hey, that's an easy match, right? Except the NWO attacked Austin. Hey, Hogan attacked Steve. Oh, with Hall using a wrench on Austin to bust him open. Austin looks completely defensive against the NWO, with Hall landing the stunner on Austin. Bloody hell, that makes up for the net gun crap on SmackDown. Austin refuses to stretcher help because he's a man who eats meat. Meanwhile, Hogan drinks Austin's booze. And then the NWO attack random people backstage because they're evil. A guy goes to check the coffee percolator, but they burn him with the very coffee he has come to check. Hall then challenges someone on the same level as Austin, which is Spike Dudley. Hey, he's had a more recent title run than Austin has. Former tight champ. Anyway, Hall annihilates Spike somehow, and Austin is not here tonight on SmackDown as he's still recovering. I put, yeah, but what about poor Spike?
What about the poor guy who got his head covered in coffee? I want an update on him, please.
Yeah.
Interesting little parallel here, because obviously this week there was the tour of East Asia, so a lot of the roster are overseas, so it's a smaller roster. When the NWO started in 1996, there was a few weeks in, there's one episode of Nitro where all the roster went to Japan, and the NWO just ran roughshod. And in 2002, all the roster are in Japan, and the NWO run roughshod. So it's an interesting little parallel that seems to have happened again. And I liked it. It's the strongest NWO have looked. And the biggest bastards they've looked. And they should be big bastards.
Part of me was like, okay. Okay, being up Austin, awesome, that's great. But then from going from the highest guy in the car to the guy that changes the coffee. Like, really? You're not lowering yourself?
They come across
this as is what, like, Stevie Ray or Horace would have been doing. Like, Hulk Hogan, greatest world champion of all time. Take that, coffee man.
The issue is that they've come with such a reputation and they're taking and they're perceived to be taking spots from a truncated wrestling company that not many are willing to get in there and work with them and make them look good.
Oh.
I think that's a big part of it. Like, because they should have, in theory, it should have been the NWO have come in and they should have just decimated the roster. Like the undercard at least. Should have just laid them to waste.
I thought about that. You're dead on, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they should have had it on that Raw when everyone's in Japan. You should have had undercard matches with the NWO keeping on running in, beating fuck out of people, just being dicks all right. So, but there's such bad blood with them coming in that this is like based on what I read in the Observer. There's probably not a lot of people that want to be within 30 yards of them.
Yeah.
So this is what they're left with: man who checks the coffee, random guy backstage, Spike Dudley. Wackada, hey!
It's about that. I was just tag team champion like a few weeks ago. I was over.
Forget all that. Vince is like, yeah. Wow, I don't remember that. It was like that conversation with Brett. I don't remember it happening.
I swear there's like photos like that they use for the NWO DVD and like on the Earth magazine and stuff like that. No, not the Panda one. That's got Scott Hall and it's like his in-ring matches and look how good he looks. And it's clips from beating up Crash Holly and Spike Dudley. And you're like, what? That was it, was it? Austin, Dudley, Holly, in brackets, Crash. Anyway, Jericho shows up with the special water that Steph made him go across town to get, as Jericho complains that he's the UU champ and he shouldn't be doing this kind of thing. Stephanie says, shut up, you bitch, and hands Jericho Triple H's first ever wrestling robe. And it may actually be that.
It is legitimately that.
Yeah, all right.
Given to him by, I don't know whether the given by Killer Kowalski thing is exactly right, but he wore it on WCW Saturday Night when he was terrorizing. Ah. If it's not the same one, it's an exact replica of it. If you go back and watch WCW Saturday Night, those random matches that Paul Levesque had as terrorizing, that is indeed the robe he wears. So it's historically accurate. 10 points to Gryffindor.
Yes. Terrorizing, by the way, if you like that guy's promos. I've heard reports about like Napoleon. People aren't happy with the accent. Go back and watch Terrorizing.
Oh, was that not Jean-Paul Levesque rather than Terrorizing? I might be wrong.
Damn it, you're right. Yeah,
John, it was Jean-Paul.
Terrorizing. I don't think you've got. Any
I don't
promo
think.
Time.
I don't think Terrorizing got a promo. I think he just came out and went, "Boo, my buddy," and got beaten up, and then that was it.
And he had that guy Scorch talk for him anyway. Got that amazing line he said because he was this cheesy radio host who's still going to this day. Sorry, Tom.
That's fine. We're all cheesy.
Yeah, but this guy makes you look, you know, like Henry Rollins.
Bearable. Broadway Bill.
Is it? When you wrestle Terrorizing, it's like the elevator in Dracula's castle. You'd be going down for the count.
I mean, I don't hate that line.
You know what? It's like, okay.
I'm just letting that sit on my tongue for a minute.
It's a thinker. Terror thinking.
I'm just testing the bouquet of that gag and... Yeah, it's good.
That gag is Vincent Priceless.
Hey.
Jericho's very grateful for this crap robe, in the same way Dobby is grateful for socks. And they awkwardly hug.
Yeah, they nearly
kiss.
That's
Jericho and Dobby, yeah.
They nearly kiss.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Like Ryback and Shrek, they nearly kiss.
This is turned on the Northern Boys. Okay, dress up as my ex-husband and then we can fuck.
It does feel like an Northern Boys.
Call me the neighbor's name when you hug me.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Women tease nudity and sex in Divas. Sex on the beach. You're getting neither. You'll be lucky there's sand on the beach.
You'll be lucky there's sand in your pants.
They were so shameless during this period. Divas present, you know, hoary whores. And it's just them going, yeah, my favourite colour is lead.
Tits.
Yeah.
My favourite colour is tits.
Yeah.
It was very...
Divas present women shagging, and it's just the same old photos you get in the magazine.
But they also are rough and ready, and it's like a clip of, like, Trish Stratus doing a bulldog.
Yeah.
But they're also great wrestlers.
Shagging senseless, and it's just, there's nothing happening. It's
they just...
Rated 12. You're like, oh, I'm not getting anything here, am I?
Why would you get that on pay-per-view? Like... For like a couple of quid.
Because you don't know. They're hoping like that. How dumb are these fans? Well, they keep on buying them.
For like £2 more, you get fucking Hooters Hotel 9. And you know you're going to get whatever you're after. Mm. You get that Dracula porn film going down for the count.
Oh!
I want to suck your dick.
The prostitutes of the night. What sweet music they make. Oh. Ah.
Hello, I'm Dracula.
Shaggers.
I've come to fix your washing machine.
Ah, my washing machine. Foot Locker presents Booker T losing the shampoo gig to Edge. Foot Locker, not for hair.
Because it originally said on, because it said Foot Locker, but it said Smack of the Week by Adidas Trainers in Foot Locker. I'm like, what the fuck have you done with fucking looks? Why are you fucking... Like, no, cavorting with other shoes.
They did this last week.
Oh, they put a lot of emphasis on Adidas, and I'm like, the fuck are you doing with...
The divas are nuns compared to the whores that the advertisers are after. For feet.
Oh, feet whores.
Yes. Tajiri, who does have some good feet, if you're a whore. The Cruiserweight champion is here in a non-title match to defend the right of his people's hair against Booker T. Lawler repeats Tajiri's line that we certainly wouldn't say nowadays, that he said last week, as Booker comes out looking so mad, he's confused. Lawler continues to mock Booker's hair because old white men mocking black men's hair is aging the show worse than that dude at the end of The Last Crusade.
100%, 100%.
Booker kicks Tajiri down as Lawler can't believe Tajiri would cost Booker the deal, saying Edge should have got a toothpaste advert instead of his big teeth. Tajiri works on Booker with his educated feet. In fact, one went to Northumbria Uni, one went to Newcastle Uni. With Booker kicking out of everything until a spinebuster shuts up Tajiri with a scissor kick, ending it with not much. Booker ends a celebratory, there we go, spinneroony, and then axe kicks Tajiri post-match. Maybe Tom was right and WWE want this to be his finish. He said this last week. Good point, mate. Edge spears Booker to save Tajiri and then mocks the spinneroony pose as Rob Zombie's mid-album plays us off.
So it was a fun match seeing these two. Taj has got a fair bit in. Against Booker?
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
I reckon Tajiri should have worn his director's hat from last week.
I think that should have been his ongoing character as a director. Director Tajiri. Nothing out there, you know, what worse could you have done? Director Tajiri. He just makes softcore porn films.
Yeah.
he makes Down for the Count.
This film would be like Kurosawa. Oh, really? Yes, I want the cinematography, widescreen. I want candlelit production. Fantastic. What's in the show? Divas presents Horny Horny Slags.
WWF Divas present Rashomon.
We get
the Seven Samurai. Oh, fuck.
We're doing a remake of the Seventh Seal. Except instead of a seal, it's a hype video for Hogan/Rock set to POD. Wow, it's 02, all right.
Well, sadly, the network has edited out POD. Which I'm very sad about.
Oh, sorry.
We just get like generic... This blatantly should have been POD here.
I'm sorry to break it to you. That shit is POD.
Oh.
Cole lets us know it's Undertaker versus Maven and Al Snow tonight. Ooh, a handicap match.
For who?
And Lita and Stacey are doing something. But here's The Rock. He's not dead. Crowd are going nuts. Lola wonders how healthy he is after getting hit by an ambulance. Surely that would make you more healthy.
Like your energy goes up when you get hit by an ambulance. Oh, I've never felt better. All my gallstones have gone. You jump in front of an ambulance more often.
Rock says The Rock is human, above all things. The Rock made a mistake. The Rock ain't doing that again, as Rock gets ready for the match that will determine who will go down as the best ever. Rock is so obsessed with what Hogan was that Rock forgot what Hogan is. Then he pauses. The bitter, jaded son of a bitch. Oh, it got me going. Which is why Hogan did everything he could to take out The Rock before WrestleMania. You could argue who's bigger, but there's no arguing who is better. Hogan also made a mistake not finishing The Rock when he had the chance. So, brother, why not try finishing The Rock off tonight?
Interesting edit on this bit before you go into the next part. And I don't know why. Now, on the network version, because I definitely remember The Rock saying, it'll be a match to decide who is the absolute best ever. On the network version, they cut out the ever. The Rock goes, absolute best. Cut to crowd shot. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. A really peculiar edit.
Who is the best currently?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just...
Who is the best until I leave to do films again?
Yeah. So I'm interested to see whether or not they keep it in the video packages, because it's a prominent part of the video packages, that line. Seems like a strange thing to edit.
I have to go back and check that. This brings our NWO with the black and white. I put the black and white, the colour scheme, not the stable, but I miss Virgil and Norton.
Hogan had his first WWF match, by the way, this past weekend in 2002. Since 1993. It was a house show in Tampa, and he beat Rikishi, and people loved it.
Oh. So, I think, did he take the stink face as well? As the seeing if Hogan... If I can get this right, was it like a test to see, all right, Hogan...
I don't know whether he did or not, but you've obviously heard that, which makes me think that probably did happen. But I know that there was a match he had.
Hogan says he understands Rock is upset, but those were some nasty words he just said now. Hogan says he could beat Rock's crippled ass now, but brother, he's not going to do it, as he wants to wait until he's 100% at WrestleMania. So the Rock's fans, who all want Hogan's fans, can see him kick his ass. Rock's just a flash in the pan, and Hogan will beat him just like all the rest. And because Hogan's such a nice guy, he won't take advantage of Rock in a weakened state. Rock begs Hogan to take advantage of him. Hogan, make like the price is right and come on down. And said, look at you standing there with your punk-ass friends. The man with the 40-inch pythons and half-inch testicles. Scott Hall says he ain't that good of a guy to take advantage of a cripple, so if you want Scott Hall, don't sing it, bring it. Rock calls him Chico again and says he'll never forget what Nash and Hall did to The Rock, so it's on. But after Hall, Hogan needs to get ready because his candy ass is next. Lovely setup here. Lots of heat. Even if Hogan does sound a bit sedated on the mic, he's not quite as hammy as you remember him, but his lines are good enough. Also of note, Nash didn't say anything and wasn't referred to by anyone.
He was just there, wasn't he? I thought it was a bit strange.
That cardboard Jay White.
He is essentially cardboard Kevin Nash this week. I loved it. I thought it was do you know what? Like, X8 gets a raw deal for many reasons and many right reasons. But like the Flair Taker build and even with the exception of like the over egging of the pudding with the ambulance crash and all that stuff, the back and forth with Rock and Hogan have been good.
I completely agree, Tom. You mostly remember, oh, the ambulance, and it's, you know, then going hee hee hee. All right, scratching grounder. But then, yeah, when it's just then what you want, like, oh, you think you're the best of all time? No, you're looking at him. It's like, oh, that's what
flash
we want.
Flash in the pan, half-inch testicles. Like, it's good.
Yeah,
stuff.
Suck my dick.
Down with it's the
like, whoa, Hogan does say that.
Suck my dick, brother.
Anyway, I booked big shoes to fill in the rest of the card. Speaking of big shoes.
Fucking done it.
Lugs.
Yeah, phew.
Presents Al Snow shooting on Undertaker.
He did shoot.
Even
on him.
Jobbers need feet wear.
He did shoot on Undertaker last week.
Rock versus Hall is the new main event. Yeah, right. It's clearly Maven and Al Snow teaming up to hype up Tough Enough 2, which debuts tonight, versus some guy called Undertaker with a bad haircut. Al starts off with Undertaker and gets a DDT and a near fall. No, really, I've put here. Maven gets a drop kick and Lawler says, if brains were chocolate, Maven wouldn't have enough to fill an M&M. One M&M.
Great line.
Anyway, Undertaker just murders Maven with the TCB.
Would one M&M be an M?
Oh, well, it's... But then if you have three, is it M&M&M?
Oh, that's true. Three M&M's being M&M.
This is like math.
Yeah, I guess.
M to the power of three.
I guess it's one M&M. Okay, that's fine. As you were.
New M&M's.
I've got a bag of M&M's, or as we call them, would you like an M&M?
Doug M&M of the M&M Museum. That's right. How many M&M's do you have today? All right, enough of this.
Giving it away.
Enough. Then Undertaker tells Ric Flair that he deserves an answer. So he tells Ric Flair.
Do we get the bit where Maven tapped out to the Dragon's Leap?
I did. No, with the TCB, the taking care of
that's
business.
It, the TCP.
That's the business that Undertaker loves so much.
Not to be confused with TCP, which is what you put on your arm when you fall in a bush.
Then Undertaker takes a few... Then Undertaker takes some drugs and kills Maven. This business, he says, as the life drains out of Maven's eyes. And all the guys are back going, yeah, kill that jobber.
Stop talking about games backstage, you dick. Talk about knives.
Well, did you see the game last night? The San Francisco
Games! Stop talking about shit I don't like. Only talk about things I like hey, knives and the troops.
Have you been following the Undertaker news from the Undertaker Weekly? Reading.
Oh, God, sorry.
Reading's not a manly thing to do.
You've done it now.
The only thing I read is the packet of my guns and troops. Support the troops. Have you supported the troops this week? That's fine, we'll let you off.
I guess you weren't tough enough, Maven. Head pops off.
What's tough enough? It's a TV show. Why are you watching TV? Knives and troops!
You can play games on those. Undertaker tells Ric Flair that Flair deserves an answer. He says yes. If Flair gets on his hands and knees and begs him for it, Ric Flair immediately runs out and begs and kisses Undertaker's ass and says, I'm sorry, whatever you... No, he doesn't. He starts battering Undertaker like a man, beats him with chops as Undertaker tries to run away, but he's half crippled at this point and needs his mobility scooter to get on the bus. So Flair tries to choke him with a cable. But Flair, because he's so mad and raged, accidentally punches a fan in the process. I put, ha, ha, ha. Security heads out to stop the lawsuit to give him some free Steve Austin t-shirts. Gives us some of those Steve Austin bandanas and the really crap bear teddy that's not selling. And then we get an advert for the WF Weakest Link. Ooh, the second one.
Did you get this on ours?
Ooh, did you?
No, I didn't.
You. My feed. That's live your catchphrase.
Feed, oh, live feed. Oh, live feed. Oh, live feed. Do, 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 do.
I'm taking Rustin Chronic. Live feed! Come on! Stop thinking about Donkey Kong. Oh, where?
That was why Chronic went wrong. They were thinking about Donkey Kong.
Then Jericho shows. Sorry, I need to catchphrase. His tongue says, what, Matthew? I didn't get that in my version. I go, live feed!
Live feed. Okay, so is this the weakest link which Booker T is on? And he's
that's already
crap.
Happened.
Oh, that was already happened. Happened.
Yeah, because they made fun of him. That's why he's right. He's still on the haha. You're a bit dumb. Stage of his career. And right. He's like, I'm not really. It's sucking a show.
I just didn't know what encore was as a word.
Yeah, he went. What's a French expression to me? Meaning more. Anyway, wee.
God bless him.
Look, it's tough when you got the pressure on you.
Yeah.
And then Jericho shows up. Well, it's him, isn't it? Oh, he's the weakest link. Oh, okay. Ooh, Matthew, should have put that better. Jericho, the UU champion, is wearing Triple H's first robe. And it's a rematch against Kane. Oh, it's a shame that robe wasn't brown. Jericho starts off by posing in front of Kane with the title. Jericho stands up by posing in front of Kane with the titles. Kane chokes him and then Flair bumps him off the top. Jericho tries taking off and orders Steph to grab the titles, but Kane suplexes him in. Jericho's able to dropkick Kane coming off the top and gets a mild offense.
Jericho escapes a tilt-a-whirl. These guys have zero chemistry. Never have and never will. So thankfully, Kurt Angle is able to run in. Oh, Tom, it's Kurt. Oh. Kurt will save us. The dependable, reliable Kurt. Kurt comes in and hits the worst angle slam of all time on Kane and lets Jericho land the lion's salt to win.
It was rough, wasn't it?
Kane immediately recovers to go after Angle, the full body crippler, and then both men brought the back. Literally, Angle did a video on Conrad Thompson podcast. Oh, sorry, it's not the... He's part of the network. I forget the guy who is on Kurt Angle's podcast. But he said, yeah, this is the worst
Paul
one.
Paul Bromwell, I think it is.
Yeah, whatever you say. Paul Bromwell, allegedly, says, like, yeah, this is the worst one you've ever done, right? And they watched it together, and Kurt was like, oh!
If Kurt Angle says it.
Kane could make Albert look good, but not Jericho. Think about that. Kane's music plays briefly. Before Steph puts the robe on Jericho and then Triple H shows up to kill both bitches. Jericho helps Steph escape a pedigree as Triple H holds up both titles as his music plays. Has Jericho had any offense so far in this feud?
Nope. None. Biggest pop of this feud is every time Trips goes for a pedigree on Steph.
Yeah.
Just make the main event Trips versus Steph. Just please. Dear God. And I you know, just that's your main event. Trips versus Steph. Cowards.
Yes.
He's had nothing, though, in this. It's just a shame.
Yeah, and luckily this Kane match was really crap, so that really helped. We then get a look at WWE's tour of Asia. And I thought, oh, is this why we're doing the shampoo stuff? Probably not.
No.
They went to the Yokohama Arena, doing a lot better than they did the bloody time they went there in 94, where they had the lowest drawing crowd of all time at that point. Really? They did not do well in 94. They wrestled in Malaysia, a bunch of other places, and apparently in front of the Singapore Prince.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Loved it.
It's all happening. Everyone seems really happy, seems very vibrant. And
I got some notes from the Southeast Asia tour, if you'd like them. So it started off in Yokohama, the Yokohama Arena in Japan. Shane McMahon is on the tour.
Oh, he obviously drew the...
So Shane McMahon opens the Yokohama Arena show with Wally Yamaguchi. Former manager of Kai and Tai.
That's right. FMW founder.
Yeah. So Shane cuts a promo and then Wally translates it into Japanese. And the fans booed Wally because they apparently were chanting in Japanese, "We want English."
Really?
They didn't want the translation.
We want English?
Yeah. So Shane and Wally Yamaguchi ad-libbed this bit where Shane threw Wally out of the ring and the crowd loved it. Shane became the baby face of the night.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they wanted a WWF show in all lumps and bumps. Singapore Stadium show, Shane came out and did a similar speech but got booed. So completely different crowd, hated Shane McMahon. So,
Shane's like, what? It's different in Japan than it is in Singapore.
Yeah?
I thought you guys were all the same. Boo, you fucking racist bastard.
And then he finally leaned into it in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, where he came out and just cut heel promo saying, Kuala Lumpur shit. Then Ric Flair came out and beat him up.
Translated, imperfect.
But not before. Apparently, Flair sold for Shane McMahon's strikes. So that was something that was happening in 2002.
Ugh.
But yeah, so Shane McMahon randomly on the Southeast Asian tour... Started the tour as a babyface, ended as a violent heel. With Wally Yamaguchi.
That's so great. Well, obviously, amazing. We want the crowd to understand what we're saying. Let's get a translator. Boo! Fuck you, Wally Yamaguchi! Yeah. What is that? What?
Go figure.
Wasn't Val Venus on the tour? Could you? No, whatever. No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, backstage, Ric Flair's trying to relax in the back, but the police talk to him. I put, yeah, they're familiar with them. And it's the fan who got hit pressing charges. I mean, yeah, you can't hit fans anymore. It's not 1983.
What a little bitch that fan is. Well, he's been happy bitch. With his T-shirts, his WWF teddy bear.
Yeah, the crappy Austin teddy. Flair is arrested and Undertaker is shown watching from afar, literally, like, peering around the corner and going...
Like a little sneaky naughty boy.
I got you, Gadget.
It's like it's like a little brother watches his big brother get told off. It's not me.
Ha ha, you punched a fan. Then some of the place backstage, Kane looks for Kurt in the car park, saying, I'm not mad, I just want to talk.
Kane is becoming the Kane that we've made him out to be. Kane will run the car park going, Kurt, I just want to talk.
And then I think within a second, I'm going to kick your ass, mate. Yeah.
I just want to talk.
So great.
It's that Family Guy sketch with Peter walking up to that guy's house. I just want to talk.
I just want to talk. So great. Kane looks for Kurt. Angle tries a sneak attack, but Kane's Kane, so he batters him and just says, lol, that was the Angle Slam. The worst one I've ever seen.
Angle Slam shit.
But Kurt uses car park objects and then drops a metal door on Kane. I've got to say, that doesn't look like it hurts much.
No.
But then he gives a chair shot in the head. It's like, oh, there we go, cheers. It's like, it comes down, it's like, ah! So it's like Ed Wood acting. No, the metal door that stopped here.
Oh, the bit of my back. Kane getting battered by Angle again. Kane's been just fucking decimated by Angle in this feud.
It's Kurt Angle.
It is Kurt Angle, but like there was only about 2 years ago where like Kane would come out and Angle would be like, Kane! And now Kane's like, I'm fucking deck you, mate. You're shit.
Those days aren't coming back.
No, those days are long gone. Until 2003. Yes.
All right, so we have Stacy versus Lita. Set up last week because Stacy faked an injury to spin kick Lita and cost her the 6-person match. Oh, nice continuity. Lita gets a giant ass pop, like nearly Rock levels. Maybe because she's going to drink a Sex on the Beach next Wednesday. What?
That's Lola's, the special.
Lola's so horny, he's going to set 2 VCRs for it.
I don't.
So I can wank off. Twice.
I can wank twice.
Does that make any sense?
So I've got a backup in case.
I'm so horny.
In case I tape Cory over the one. Like, I'm going to tape it twice.
Uncontrollable horniness.
Oh, I really want to watch this porn. I'm going to load 2 tabs with the same porn on. I
can use both of my eyes to look at both TV sets.
Focus on the same
Both bit. Of my penises.
Weird, yeah. Man.
Anyway.
Stacey comes out to her new music, which is Legs by right. Kid Rock. It's a cover of the ZZ Top song. Yeah. I can't get my head around like what like about music licenses for WWF because we don't hear the POD song. We don't hear any of the like the in any of the video packages, any of the cool stuff. But on the network, of course, we've got Legs by Kid Rock
in
perfect form.
I think it's because that was like part of the album. Like,
right.
So it's like, it's a kind of a WWE song.
With you.
Whereas POD and Saliva and stuff, they're proper songs that they're just using.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah. Because I don't think Kid Rock was covering Legs for any other reason.
Right. Because he was cold.
We let this man get away with so much.
You don't want to get mud on his knees. For the count. When he went down for the count.
Stacey's sneak attacks with her one move, the spin kick, so Lola can come everywhere.
Twice.
So Matthew, cheers. Lola takes a few kicks and then, did I say Lola or Lita? Lita takes a few kicks, I'll just say it again, and then lands something resembling a blue thunder bomb and a sex pin. Sex on the beach, sex on the beach, buy sex on the beach, they're going to fuck on the beach, buy it.
I've put as well a blue thunder bomb with a sexy pin.
Yeah.
To a huge
ovulation. Lillian is interviewed by Lily, who says, by the way, oh, say, can you say? No, she asks Lita, what's next? And she says she wants the women's title. Then Stacy sneak attacks, and then it gets dumped with a twist of fate and moonsault. Another pop. Ah, but this allows Jazz to deck Lita. Hey, she had it coming. Like Lola talking about this match, she had it coming.
Oh, God.
Steph leaves and tells Triple H he ain't getting the dog. So Triple H says, oh, yeah, that's my car, right? Triple H gives her the keys because he understands that car was her 16th birthday present. And Steph's like, oh, that's very nice. Yeah, considering you're not getting the dog. And goes, yeah, it's all right. Obviously, give it to you. And Steph's like, oh, what a nice man Triple H is. I hear his dick is huge.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely going to beat Jericho, who's got nothing in this feud. And she walks a corner and goes, hey, wait a minute. That's that car, but there's something different about it. I can't quite put my finger on it. Let me walk even closer to it. Hey, now the cameraman's caught up. This car appears to have been cut entirely in half. What? And then Steph looks at Triple H, who's just waiting to say the line. And like, it's just every epic movie we've ever seen. Yeah. Remember, we agreed. Everything 50-50. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Steph is upset. Kicks the car. Setting off the car alarm. Get back, you bastard. I'll break your legs.
I put Triple H is getting his revenge before the WrestleMania match. I put, it's funny, but...
I love the idea. So Steph walks... So Steph sees the car.
Yeah, I know. That's so funny, isn't it? Like the setup.
The setup's fantastic because Steph sees the car. And it's not until she's right up close to it does she realise that half the car is gone.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with this?
I can only assume that Steph has got some weird sort of carpal tunnel vision issue that she didn't notice the moment she looked to her right and saw that there was only half the car.
Famous TV actress Steph.
Yeah, wrestling is fucking amazing. And the bit where she kicks the car. I don't have any evidence of this. I really want that to have been an ad-libbed bit. I guess they didn't...
What, the car ad-lib?
The car alarm going off. I really want that to have just been a happy accident.
It didn't go off when they cut its legs off, but it went off when he got a kick from Steph.
I thought that bit was especially funny.
I thought it was good.
Go back to your Boston.
But again, this is all happening before the WrestleMania match.
Yeah. This is the build to the main event of WrestleMania. Sawing a car in half. I want my dog. Chris Jericho's wearing my terrorizing robe.
Penis, penis, penis.
Main event of WrestleMania.
This is the main event of SmackDown, though. Oh, yeah. The Rock versus Scott Hall.
Scott Hall's first ever SmackDown match.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Hall saunters to the Rock. Sorry, start again, Matthew.
I guess
Hall
he does.
Saunters to the ring. The Rock runs down like Little Nate at WrestleMania 24. Hall knocks down Rock and gets two, but he argues with the ref, so Rock kips up and locks in the Scorpion King death lock. Some of these words are so hard. Mm-hmm. So Hogan distracts and Hall is able to plod his offense, the Rock's ribs. Hogan gets a few shots in at ringside and they are taped, to be fair. Oh, his ribs, right.
His ribs are taped. He's got a little...
Hogan has taped up his shots.
They're not like... So Rock has got a bit of rib because... bear in mind, Rock's been hit by an ambulance. So, of course, he's got three bits of white tape on his ribs. And otherwise, he's done fine.
Good as new.
Maybe you're right. Maybe hitting an ambulance does make you healthier. And that's just a shaving mishap. Yeah.
Oh, that's unrelated. The Rock fell down the snow.
He put on his ribs...
That March snow.
...roughly the same amount of tape that I think I used when I cut myself shaving. But he got hit by a vehicle. Wrestling.
Yeah. Scott Hall can't win with the dirty pin, so he charges up the razor's edge, which is, of course, how he got that nasty scar on his ribs. But Rock backdrops out of it. Hall staggered selling, even, is making me nostalgic. Especially his slow rise and turn as he takes a Rock bottom. Kevin Nash jumps in to get rocked and then hangs in the ropes dramatically to distract the ref so Hogan and Rock can stare off. Crowd's all into this. Nash recovers and then they all think, sod it. Nash took too long in the ropes and then start attacking Rock anyway. Crowd chants, Austin, Austin. But he's not here, silly billies. This isn't the court case of the WWF. We don't lie. Yeah, we did. Here he is.
Here's Steve Austin. Glass shatters. It's bloody stone cold.
Austin runs out the punch, 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 NWO. And yes, that includes Hogan. Whoa. Hall gets thrown at the ring announcer and then the ring. And then he sods off. So Nash takes a chair shot instead. And then another. And then The Rock clotheslines him anyway. Gets out the ring this time. Well done, Nash. I'm pretty sure this sets up the handicap match on Raw. AKA the only time we got Austin Hogan. Oh, then Vince shows up and calls Steve a son of a bitch. And then makes that match I've just said. Thanks, Vince. Rock and Austin drink beer, as Lorna says. Celebrate while you can, lads. Celebrate while you can.
Now,
nice. No neck guns. 10 out of 10 match.
The Kevin Nash bump out of the ring, the first one, was fucking amazing. So
yeah.
Rock punches him, and I think the plan was Nash was meant to go over the top into the floor. But he flails back. He gets caught in the top rope. He tries to kind of push himself over, but instead loses his balance, falls through the middle rope, starts pushing himself through the middle rope, and then just stops. Like, the momentum has run out, and he just, like, stays between the middle and the top rope, like, in, like, a fetal position.
Yeah. It's like, I was trying to go over the top rope, but I'm going to do Andre the Giant circa 1989.
I'm just going to give up and just lie between the ropes instead.
I've done a complete cat's cradle.
It was wonderful.
But wait, Hogan makes the save, and I'm just like,
I can do it. I can do it.
Like the villain at the end of Disney's Tarzan. Quick, where's my machete?
Austin very clearly shouts, fuck you, which is beeped out on the network version. Very clear, F you to the NWO.
Does it say out on my version? Live feed. It goes, beep, beep. Sorry.
Did you feel like this was a really long beer bash at the end?
Yeah.
Maybe I think they fucked up the timing.
But I'm all right with it. Because it's like Rock Austin celebrating his friends now. Guess that needs to be emphasised because they're not always.
Yeah, it's very true. I think maybe the, yeah. I thought.
Plus with all the star power in the ring and outside the ring, I guess. It's like, yeah, I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. No issue. I just thought it just felt like a longer one. Like they mucked up the timings a little bit. But
yeah,
otherwise.
I do think that. Because I saw the Chiron come up and I thought, oh, well, this is still the actual TV feed.
Mm.
There's nothing afterwards. It was a really weird live feed where the guy just went, I don't care about Sunday Night Heat anymore.
So nothing happened on your. So when the live, when that show ended, the live feed ended as well.
Yeah, or? And during the breaks there was just no bits. I don't know if they changed the feed. You have to actually change the specific satellite frequency to get it. But the guy was just like, I can't be fucking asked.
Aww.
It's only the build up to WrestleMania X8, the biggest WrestleMania of all time at that point.
I can't be bothered with it.
Yeah.
So that was SmackDown. What did you remember?
SmackDown. I remembered the Undertaker Flair stuff.
Mm.
The David Flair beatdown, I remember, but not necessarily the rest, because it's like David Flair, infamous, rubbish, but still makes sense in this one bit of context. 23 or 22, I guess, at that point. 22, 23. What the fuck?
It's the best he's ever looked.
I was still playing Sonic 3.
I mean, mate, we're both still playing Sonic 3.
I'm still playing Sonic 3.
Yeah,
bad example. Yeah. What about yourself?
I remember Scott Hall versus The Rock as the main event, because I remember at the time, like my 18-year-old brain going, this match has never happened. This felt like a dream match. And that's the nice thing about the NWO coming in. Of course, the whole story arc was a shadow of what it could have been. But like with the invasion, it was still nice to see, you know, what would become known as Forbidden Doors opening everywhere. So Scott Hall and The Rock felt like more of a Monday Night Wars dream match than anything we saw last year. Like they could have headlined an Invasion-esque pay-per-view with a match like that had they got their ducks in a row earlier. So I remember being quite excited about that. The match wasn't terrible. It was serviceable. But it was just weird seeing them interact. And this is not my I forgot, but I constantly forget how fucking tall Scott Hall is. Because he's mates with Kevin Nash, you always just assume that, oh, Scott's like a normal-sized guy because Kev's a monster. And then you put Scott Hall in there. I remember watching an episode of Raw recently with Jack Atkins, probably about a year ago, perhaps. And it was Razor Ramon versus Yokozuna. And I was like, this feels like a weird match to watch because Razor is so much taller than Yoko and the size comparisons are so weird. But seeing him in there with The Rock, he looked massive against The Rock. What did you forget?
I forgot about the... Let me look at my notes. Oh, that's right. Jericho and the Killer Kowalski robe. It's like, I'm just going to make you my little bitch husband.
They could have leaned into that more and just had him have Steph dress Jericho up as Triple H for different eras throughout the week.
Yeah.
Get him to go suck it.
Yeah, but
put water on his hair as he comes out.
It really needs the two embracing. I think if they just had that bit where Steph kisses Jericho in front of Triple H to annoy him, that's my ex-wife. But instead, Jericho's just like, oh, I'm not going to... He's just the undisputed world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, that's all he is.
To achieve a barge pole, mate. Jericho, can you drive my 50% car to the shops and get me some water?
Scraping it along the ground.
Steph, that's not... I said, can you go drive my car? Okay.
Just
get back, you bastard. I'll bring it like.
He's just walking.
Like the Flintstones. Just a mile pile up behind him. Beep, beep, move, you fucking asshole.
Get out of the way, you fucking idiot.
What? Check out the robe on.
I forgot Gold Dust's gold hardcore paraphernalia. And I didn't hate it. Because wrestling's bollocks. So why not lean into the bollocks? I wonder if Goldust had more of a run as hardcore champion and we saw that more often, I think that'd have been fun. Him in a room full of like hardcore weaponry.
He did this just to show us how forgettable it was. He's already done this on TV. He's already done this on SmackDown.
What, the gold weapons? Yeah. Has he?
Yeah.
Oh. Shit, I wish I forgot it then.
That's, I mean, hey, look, it's gold. Whatever.
I didn't think he'd already done it well, I stand.
Your matches are still wank.
They're not great. They're not great. They're doing what they can.
Gold bin.
Gold bin. So
Keep
that's
the match. The match was too rubbish to rate.
Itinerary for the SmackDown review. Next week, the go-home SmackDown for WrestleMania X8. Week after, the retro reactions to WrestleMania X8. And then nothing from us until 2024 from the SmackDown review, except the Cultaholic Classic Review Christmas special on the 25th of December.
That's right, speaking of golden bins.
Golden bin, oh, mate, it's a bin fire this year. I can't wait for us all to sit down and record it. If you are a Patreon, so basically there's going to be a podcast version which you'll hear with your ears on Christmas Day, and it's free and you'll have a lovely time with it. If you're a Patreon, you will basically get the entire table read for it and all the bollocks that comes from that.
Oh yay,
it'll be a good time had by all. On the podcast feed this weekend, we've been doing Punkvember for the past few weeks, and we concluded it with a third part last week. If you haven't heard it yet, there is a special omnibus version coming out tomorrow. A megasode, essentially. Ooh. That is 6 hours and 20 minutes long.
It's a good life on the buses.
It's a good life on the buses. And that'll be a long life on the buses. So that'll be on the podcast feed tomorrow. But before that, obviously today is Saturday. It's Survivor Series. So live reactions with Adam and Andrew on the YouTube channel tonight. And you'll have What Happened At and the WTF moments with Jack and Ross, respectively, as well. What have you got going on, birthday boy, for yesterday?
Relaxing.
Relax. Don't do it. Down for the count.
Yes, I'll be sleeping in my golden bed. Going, fucking hell, this is horrible, this. Ah.
It's a bit uncomfortable.
Golden duvet. Crushing me. Pushing out all the oxygen out of my lungs. My golden lung.
When you next twitching?
On my golden PC.
Can't do anything with it.
Golden mouse can't click a fucking thing.
He's twitch.tv/MatthewBotch. Yeah. What he does on his gold PC. And until we're next back together, he's at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at John Gamble on Twitter. Together, at Goldenholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us and get yourself down for the count. Love you, bye.
Here at Cultaholic, we work for Golden Pachiti. Everything he has is gold, and he still hates the poor.
Gold finger. He's the man with the Midas touch.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.